John chapter 6 and verse 68. John chapter 6 and verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure." Let's say it together. "And are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hallelujah. Jesus answered them, "Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Amen. And the title of this message is, "You Can Beat Judas." You can beat Judas. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we thank you. Hallelujah, that you've accepted our worship. Lord, we ask you to continue to fill this place with your presence and anointing. Prepare our hearts to receive a word. Let it find good soil. Let it bring forth a harvest of faith, of encouragement. Hallelujah, of determination. We thank you right now for your goodness and your love. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Lift up your voice one more time. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. God is a good God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. I am so grateful for what God is doing. Amen. He has just been blessing me despite what we're going through. Amen. Anyone going through some things? Everyone just cruising along easy street, got no problems? Amen. You know, originally I was going to title this message, "You Can't Escape Judas." But the Lord hit me and said, "No, that's not what I want you to teach. You can beat Judas." Amen. You know, when I chose the title of this message, it really wasn't about betrayal. You know, when we think of Judas, everyone immediately thinks of someone betraying you, stabbing you in the back. But if you read this passage very carefully, Judas was not really, that was not the point of it. Jesus was making a point that we cannot escape in this life having to deal with issues. Amen? Because even Jesus, he chose 12, and one of them was a devil. As I said last week, my wife was asking me about my job and how it was going, and I said, "It's great. Best job I ever had." Amen. I manage some people, and she said, "Well, what about the people?" And I said, "You know what? They're all great. I'm so blessed." And so she said, "Well, how come?" I said, "Well, I don't have more than 11. Amen. The point being that in this life, the scripture says, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Let me say it one more time in case you didn't hear me. Be of good cheer. Why? Because I, Jesus said, have overcome. Hallelujah. And we can too. We can overcome. You understand that about 6 weeks ago, I don't know where I was, but this feeling just came over me, and I was just so sick of this world. I mean, so much sicker than I'd ever been. I just was talking to God and said, "Lord, just come and fix everything now. I'm sick of what's going on in the world, all the wars, the crimes, the rapes, the murders, just the things on the nightly news was just getting to me. I said, I want out of here." You understand that we are like some people that have been born in a state of war. You have been born into a state of war. Just this week in Afghanistan, the government of the U.S. and the Taliban signed a peace agreement. peace agreement. That war has been the longest war that the U.S. has been fighting, 18 years. That means that there are people in Afghanistan that have always known nothing but violence and war. What I'm trying to tell you, the world that you have been born in, you've only known spiritual warfare. You don't know what the Garden of Eden was like. You don't know the harmony and the peace that God originally created us to achieve. All we've known is spiritual warfare, is to battle. When we get up and have to go to work and all the issues of life, sickness, disease that come, family situations, relationships, it's always a fight. It's always a battle. You see, he said, haven't I chosen you? And one of you is a devil. What I'm trying to tell you is we are going to face situations. But don't let that get you discouraged. Don't let that get you down. Because there is coming a peace treaty. You see, someone who was born in a war doesn't understand what it would be like to live in peace. They've heard of this word. You've heard of this word. But you don't really yet understand what it is that God has got in store for us. We don't really get a glimpse yet of what heaven is going to be like. The harmony, the peace, the comfort, the joy in knowing that you have made it. Can you imagine it if you woke up one morning and found you were in heaven? And all of this was over? All the suffering, all the pain, all the mess, all the struggle, all the fight was over, and you know that you had been saved, that you had been called up, and Jesus is just there welcoming you and saying, come my beloved, come my blessed. That's my dream. That's what I want to attain. But what we're dealing with now is Judas. Not just the betrayal. Yes, he betrayed Jesus, but he was always in the background, always muttering, always complaining, always trying to make things difficult. Why does this money be sold? Why is this ointment being given to Jesus? It could have been sold for the poor. There's always a critic. There's always someone sniping at you. Always someone trying to tear you down. See, we've been born into war. We just don't realize it. So we don't understand what it would be like to go back to that paradise of God. We don't understand what God has got promised for us. But if we will endure just a little bit, you can beat Judas. We don't know what it's really like to be born into paradise. The Bible says that we can see right now just as through a glass darkly. We've been told about the streets of gold. We've been told about the peace and the harmony, the blessing and the joy. We've been told about those things, but we really don't yet understand it. But one day there's coming a peace treaty. The Bible says that when he, the Prince of Peace, is come, hallelujah, there is going to be a peace treaty. You see, all around us right now, we don't see it, but there is spiritual warfare taking place. There are spirits trying to battle right now for your soul. Satan has got some delegated spirits that are just trying to destroy your life. Did you know that? Let me tell you, there is a war going on right now for your soul. You can't see it, you may not realize it, but it is as real as what's going on in Afghanistan. There are spiritual bombs being blown up all around you, and you don't know that the angel of the Lord has been encamping around you to protect you and to lift you up and to take you through. Sister Janice talked about the fact the car went by and hit every other car but her car. Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. Sister Janice, God still got another day for you. He's got some more work for you to do. You see, because we've been born spiritually blind, we're just like somebody just walking down the road right into the middle of the street, and there are spiritual cars going by us and we don't know it. But I'm telling you, if God will open our eyes just for a little bit, you can beat the evil that is Judas. You see, this war started in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And of course, verse 15 is the declaration of war. And I will put enmity, hatred. Do you understand the devil hates you? He hates God more. So the only way he can get at God is through his children. He would like to destroy you, take away your faith, take away your joy, hit you in your flesh, make you sick, hit your family. That's what his job is. We are under spiritual attack every day. But I want you to know, you can beat Judas. You can beat Judas. Amen. We may not be able to escape all the tribulation because some of it is there to prove us and to test us. Now, the Bible tells us that God does not tempt anyone. And people get confused with temptation and testing. It's clear that sometimes we are tested, but the difference is in what the goal is. Temptation is there to tear you down, to find your weaknesses, to destroy you. Testing is there to prove you, to see if God can qualify you, if God can validate his trust in you, that he can find someone who he can use, someone who he can say, "This is my son, hallelujah, in whom I'm well pleased." See, there's a difference between temptation and testing. God will never test you to sin. But he will test you to prove if you are willing to be obedient, if you love him, if you mean this thing. I heard a story more than a couple thousand years ago of the Christians in Rome. And they were hiding in this cave having a service. And these Roman soldiers came and burst in. And the centurion says, "Okay, I'm going to give everyone a chance to recant, to give up on being a Christian. Anyone who wants to leave now, they can leave and nothing will happen to them." And so maybe 50 people left, and there was another 50 people there. And when everyone had gone, he said, "Now I can reveal that I'm a Christian. I wanted to test to see who was really in this thing, who was willing to lay down their life, who I could really trust with my life." You see, sometimes God is testing you to see if you mean this thing or if you're just going to give up. Are you in it to win it? Are you in it to endure to the end? Because the Bible says the same shall be saved. The same shall, turn to your neighbor and say, "The same." It's those who endure to the end. See, Satan's temptations are there to find the cracks in your armor. Jesus' tests are there to prove that your armor is good. Now, you may say there's no difference, but yes, there is. See, God wants to qualify you to use you. When you come through temptation, you know, when you have been tested and you can be used, then you can go fight Goliath. As the scripture that Brother Chris had preached, the message he preached about God being a jealous God, he wants to make sure that we love him, not someone else. That we are determined to fight all the battles that he calls us to. Sometimes it gets very scary. Sometimes you look at what you got to face and you think you can't do it. But I'm telling you today that with God we can do all things. In Job chapter 23, verse 10, Job explains what this testing is about. He says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You see, there's only one way to get pure gold. It has to go through the fire. What God is doing is purifying you. He's making you into something precious, something that is exclusive, something that is not common, something that's not just a rock, but something that is pure gold. Pure gold. Pure gold only comes out one way, through fire. Sometimes we are in the fire, but you know what? You can beat Judas. You can beat Judas. "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." What you're going through right now, it may be temptation, but it could be God just qualifying you, validating your faith, qualifying you for his service to say, "Now I can use her. Now I know him. Now I can trust them." What are we going to do when we are put to the test? What are we going to do? See, Jesus had to face the ultimate test. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:7 explains it, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. You see, we're all going through some stuff. If anyone here is not going through some stuff, I don't know what you're up to. But I'm going through some stuff. You say, "Pastor, you go through stuff?" Yes, I do. Oh, there's many times I just don't want to do it. As Sister Audrey would say, I don't want to pay the toll. Sometimes the phone rings and I look at it and I don't want to answer it. Let me be honest, I don't want to answer it. Because you know what? It's going to mean I got to do something. But I also have to remember that the hireling fleeth. And God doesn't call me to be a hireling. He calls me to be a pastor. He has called you to be sheep, and he's called you to be servants of the living God. The highest calling he can call you is servant, because that means you belong to him. Hallelujah. You belong to him. In 1 Peter 1, 7, it says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold perishes, though it be tried with fire, might praise, hallelujah, and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do you know he's got some rewards for you? He's got some rewards for you because he understands what you're going through. The Bible says he was also tempted and tested, yet without sin. Yet without sin. God has promised that he's not going to leave us alone. Yes, this is a fight. Yes, there are trials. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's family issues. Sometimes it's just pressure. Sometimes it's financial. But if we will just endure to the end and say, God, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, what do I mean that you can beat Judas, that you can escape Judas? See, while there's a war going on, we're going to face battles. There's going to be battles. As I said, the scripture says, think it strange, the fiery trials. We do think it's strange. It's like, wow, what am I going through? Even though the Bible tells us that we're going to go through some trials. And the trials seem to get harder and harder. They don't get easier. The trials you went through last year, you better suck it up. The devil's coming back with more. But guess what? We can beat Judas. We can triumph. We can get through this. See, Judas is just the enemy's agent. All he came to Jesus to do was to destroy. He was all about himself. He is bent on your destruction. See, your Judas could be sickness. There's been a lot of sickness going around. Your Judas could be your job. You just hate every morning when you wake up to think that you have to go into that place. Your Judas could be some family situations you're dealing with. But there's always going to be some trial and tribulation in this life. But remember what Jesus said, be of good cheer. Turn to your neighbor, say, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. Hallelujah. The one thing that my parents taught me is to be optimistic. I'm never in a hopeless situation. No matter how bad it is, it's never hopeless. You know why? I have a God. I have a Father. I have someone who has got my back. When I look around, I might be by myself. I might be down to my last penny. I might be turned down for every job application, but I'm still not alone. Why? Because he has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. Amen. I am never so discouraged that I don't have hope. Amen. I might get down sometimes, but then, you know, I just start worshiping. I put on my gospel music or I start to pray. I start to thank Jesus. I start to worship. I start to entertain the presence of God. And before you know it, I'm feeling a little bit better. Get your worship on. Start thanking God, even in your desperate situation, because he has promised us never to leave us nor forsake us. You might have a devil around you. You may have sickness. You may have financial issues, but you can beat Judas. Amen. This war has been going on a long time. Satan got a few licks in. In Genesis, it said he would bruise the heel. Yes, he's caused me a lot of trouble. He's caused my foot to slip a few times. But you know what? I did not stay down. I got right back up. I got right back up and I started marching. I said, devil, you're not going to win this battle. Yeah, this war has been going on a long time, but you know what? I see the end coming. I see the final battle coming, and I know who wins. I know who wins this fight. Yeah, he's won a few skirmishes. He's hurt a few heels. He's knocked a few of us off our feet. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This scripture denotes the closest Satan came to actually winning something. He got God so upset, so distressed with man's condition that the Bible said that it grieved God to his heart. It caused him pain. It caused sorrow. You know, you can only hurt someone if they love you. If I don't love you, there's nothing you can hurt me with. You know, you can say, call me names, whatever you want, but if I am not invested in you, you can't hurt me. It caused God hurt, grief in his heart. And he decided that he would destroy mankind that he had made. Satan must have been rejoicing. I got this now. I finally found a way to destroy and hurt God. But then the chapter goes on, but Noah. But Noah found grace. Just at the last minute, God turned it around and found someone who he could pour his love in. God is looking for someone named Noah in here. That might not be your middle name. That might not be your given name. But God is looking for someone to pour some grace in, some strength in, some love into. But Noah found grace. That word Noah in the Hebrew, it has two meanings. The second meaning is comfort. Comfort. God wants to comfort you even in your distress, even in your trial right now. He can bring comfort. As I said, this war has been going on a long time and Satan has had a few victories. But I know what happens in the end. The great battle is coming up. The final battle is soon to be. And we have some of the best generals. We have the best commander. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, Joshua was coming into the promised land and he went up this hill and suddenly he found this figure, this warrior, angel, or whoever it was with armor. And it came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes. You know, sometimes we're going down a lot like this. Man, stuff is so bad. Sometimes we wake up and we're so downcast. Joshua was going into battle. What did he do? Lifted up his eyes. If we would just lift up our eyes, we'd find that there's someone ready to fight on our side. If we would look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, we would find that there's someone ready to fight on our side. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain. This word captain doesn't really give the full import of who this was. This was the top dog. Commander of the Lord's host. There's a song that says Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, but he did not. We cannot fight these spiritual wars ourselves, but if we can get the commander of the Lord's host on our side, all we will have to do is shout. All we have to do is being in obedience. The Bible says, and the walls came falling down. The walls that were 60 feet high and 20 feet wide fell down. But as captain of the Lord's host am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face and worshiped. See, what we need to do is first look up. Then we can fall on our face and worship. But sometimes all we do is get up and we sing, oh is me, oh is my. And how depressed and how are we going to make it. What the Bible is telling us, to look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. It's time that we understand that Judas can be beat. Judas can be beat. He came into Jesus' circle, but Jesus knew who he was a long time ago. He came to sow little seeds of discord, to always be the critic, to say negative things. The Bible says he was also a thief. You know what? The devil comes to steal and destroy. He wants to take away your joy, then your faith, then your love and your hope. But I'm telling you today, Judas can be beat. Judas can be beat. In the end, you know, of course, he tried to betray Jesus. But you see, what the devil meant for evil turned out to be for our good. Joseph's brothers tried to betray him into Egypt. But what the devil means for evil can turn out for your good. You know, I can only tell my story. I can't tell your story, but I'm going to tell it again. I got fired last year. I got fired last year. And I really, it was a good job, but it was so far away. It was in Madison. And I was really saying, Lord, this is a good job, but it's such a drive to go to Madison every day, 2.5 hours. Lord, please do something. The Lord heard my prayer. You see, Judas can be beat. So I went in and I told you the story, and I'm going to tell it again for those who don't hear it. And I was every Monday or every 2 weeks, I have a one-on-one with my manager. And so he called me, but not to his office. And I thought, this is strange. Where are we going? And we went into this room with the curtains drawn. I thought, okay, I know what this is. We opened the door. There was the HR lady. Okay. And, you know, in my flesh, I was a little bit hurt. Yeah, who likes getting terminated? But on the other hand, the thought came to me, hey, didn't you ask me for this? Didn't you want this? And then they started to tell me, we're very sorry. There's been a reorganization. Nothing about your work. Your work has been great. But the good part was, so listen, we're going to terminate you, but not really. We're going to keep you on for 2 months, but you don't have to come into work for 2 months. We're going to pay you for 2 months. Then we're going to terminate you. Then we're going to give you another 2 months. And I really, at that point, had to try and look very sad. Well, I understand. I think they saw me when I was driving out the parking lot. You can beat Judas. What the devil meant for my destruction turned into a nice 4-month vacation that I could take the summer off. And then right at the end of the 4 month, God gave me a better job. So much better. So much better. You see, he will get your heel, but you can beat Judas. He that endureth to the end. The same. Turn to your neighbor. The same. It's not those who quit, not those who give up, not those who get all discouraged. It's he that endureth to the end. The same shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus is coming up to fighting the greatest battle. He's won part of the battle already in John chapter 19 and verse 30. When he was at the cross, Satan thought, I got him now. But he didn't quite realize what was happening. Once he got him on the cross, Judas changed his mind. Wait a minute. We can't have him die, because now I know what he's going to do. He's going to come down to that place called the grave, and he's going to fight a battle with me. We got to get him off that cross. You know the story? Judas then went and tried to change the money. He said, here, take the money back. Get him off the cross. We can't have him die like that, because he's the sacrifice for sin. And if he dies that way, do you understand? Billions will be made free. Sickness will be delivered. Souls will be saved. But then Jesus said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Bible said the rocks rent. The graves were opened. And when Jesus arose in Matthew 28, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. All power. Let's say it together. All power. I told you, Judas can be beat. But you know what it takes? You got to be willing to die. Judas was defeated at the cross. Are you willing to die? Jesus said, everybody who's going to follow me must first deny themselves, take up their own cross. Do you understand? We're going to go through tribulations. And sometimes it's going to take every bit of commitment, every bit of determination. But you can beat Judas. But are you willing to die? He finished and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. But that was only the part of the victory. In Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, it began towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. See, Jesus had gone down there and he'd torn up the place. He had torn up the place, torn up the place. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. Now, you have to understand, the angel didn't come to let Jesus out. The angel came to let everyone see that he was gone. He needed no help. He needed no help. The creator of heaven and earth needed no help. But the angel came to roll back the stone to show that you can beat Judas. Because even if you die, The Bible says if you are willing to give your life for him, he will give you something in exchange, eternal life. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto women, fear not. Fear not ye, for I know that he seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. That's the proof. He'd already gone. The angel didn't come to let him out. The angel came to show Judas can be beat. Come and see the place where he was laid. And then go quickly. And tell his disciples, Judas can be beat. What the devil has meant for evil, God can turn it around for your good. Whatever curse the devil has put on you, God can remove it. Because when he said it is finished, it means paid in full. Paid in full. Judas can be beat. We may not be able to escape tribulation, but through willingly sacrificing for God, Judas can be beat. If you could stand with me. So how do we defeat Judas? Well, the Bible tells us that too. If you're going into a battle, what do you do? You got to arm yourself. 1 Peter 4, 1-2. Therefore, since Christ has suffered. Now remember that. Next time you're going through it, well, Christ suffered. Jesus suffered. Since Christ has suffered in the flesh, what do you got to do? Arm yourselves. Be prepared. Understand what's going on. That we're in a battle, a spiritual war, where Satan hates you. He will try and destroy you, take away your faith, destroy your joy, and have you leave God's kingdom. Arm yourself also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh, if you've died to sin, he can't get you. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Here's how you beat Judas. Galatians 2:20. Paul was talking to the Galatians, and he was telling about all the things that he'd been through. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by faith. That means I put my total trust on him. I can't make it without trusting him. I can't do it without believing in him. I can't go without him knowing he loves me and that he's going to take me. The life that I now live, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Why? Because who loved me? And gave himself for me. So you might not be able to escape trials and tribulations, but Judas can be beat. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to trust? Even at Satan's closest approach to victory in Genesis, when God said, it repenteth me that I have made man on the earth. That means God had changed his mind. I love the next verse. There's a but. It says, but Noah found. Are there some Noahs here today? Are there some Noahs here today? Your storm may be great. It may look like your ship is sinking. But I believe that there's a verse that comes, but Noah found grace. Just put that in your middle name somewhere. That means unmerited favor. That means God's love. That means God's preparation for a way of escape. God told Noah, listen, I'm going to destroy the earth, but listen, I've made a way of escape for you. Whatever you're going through right now, the Bible says that in every temptation, there is a way of escape. Sometimes, as I've said before, the way of escape is through. Sometimes it's not out, but it's through. You just have to go through it. But God will keep you. The king came in the morning and he said, O Daniel, live as the God whose thou servest continually. Is he able to keep you alive? Daniel answered, O king, the God that I serve has shut the mouth of the lion. Now, the greater miracle wasn't that the king changed his mind and didn't throw him in there. The greater miracle was he stayed in there all night with the lions, but they couldn't touch him. The greater miracle is they sold Joseph into Egypt, but within 10 years he was the prime minister. The greater miracle is you may be fired and the next month God gives you a better job. The greater miracle is you may be sick right now, but the Bible has said that he can call for the elders of the church. They will lay hands on you, and if you have committed any sin, it shall be forgiven you and you shall recover. I just love what Jesus said when he came out the grave. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. You know what that means? Satan is just lying right now. He's just lying to you. He's trying to deceive you and trick you. But you need to tear down that Hollywood set that looks so real. Because that's what it is. It's a Hollywood set. Go behind it. It's just cardboard. And you need to tell him, it is written. Jesus has all power. So I don't know what you have, Satan, but you only have lies. We're closing this service. But you can beat Judas. You can beat whatever evil is trying to attach itself to your life. It may be that you go through it. It may be that it takes some time. But if you will endure to the end, God will deliver you. Last thing I will say, the three Hebrew boys were about to be thrown in the fire. They were given an opportunity to back out. All you have to do is go worship me. Go worship my image. And they said, listen, king, whatever happens, we're going to be out of your hand. Do you understand what they were really saying? If you throw us in the fire, we're out of your hand. That's what they were saying. You can't hurt us because we don't care. That's what they were telling. You can't hurt us because whatever you do, we're already out of your hand. We're in God's hand. And of course, you know the story. The fire released the bonds. He tied them up and threw them in there. But what happened? The fire released the bonds. The thing you're afraid of will actually make you stronger. He threw them in the fire, and the fire burned up all the ropes holding them. And what's more, he said, didn't we throw three and we see four? And that fourth one looks like the commander of the Lord's host. These altars are open. I want to leave you today with this one word. You can beat Judas. Maybe he's come into your circle, and Judas can be sickness and all these other things, but you can beat Judas. I'm encouraging you as we go into this new month of March. Don't let Satan pull you down and lie to you. Whatever trial you're going to, it's temporary. Anything that has a beginning has an end. That's why God is the only thing that is eternal. He's the only thing that doesn't have a beginning. Therefore, he has no end. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. If you could stand with me. I believe today that Judas can be beat. What we have to do, as the Bible says, is to be willing to give ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you for your word. Let it encourage us. Let it inspire faith. Let us really, oh God, trust you this week that whatever we're into, whatever trial, whatever Judas has been dogging our feet, Lord, that we will trust you that he can be defeated. It can be defeated. Lord, all we have to do is understand and trust you that you are there with us, that you are the commander of the Lord's host, and that you are willing to fight this battle. We do not have to fight it ourselves or by ourselves. Lord, we ask you right now, Jesus, as we pray, Lord God, as you have received our worship, receive our prayers right now. As we lift up holy hands to you, Lord God, sanctified by your word. Lord, I pray, Lord God, just like Noah, that you will give us grace, that you will forgive our sins and our many failures. Lord, that you will place your hand upon us right now as this word cleanses us, as this word renews us, as this word washes us, as this word revives us, as this word heals us, as this word delivers us, as this word lifts us up. We thank you right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you right now. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is telling me, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. Whatever your enemy is, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's finances, the Lord is saying, trust me, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. I am here to bring deliverance. I am here to bring renewal. I am here to bring revival. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's just pray. Let us open our mouth and reach out to God. Receive His word. Accept it in our hearts. Hallelujah. Let us cry aloud. The Bible says, with the lips, confession is made unto the Lord. You have to speak it out yourselves. I can't do it for you. You need to open your mouth and claim your victory, claim your healing, claim your deliverance. Hallelujah. You have to do it for yourself. But if you will do it today, if you will go down and touch the hem of his garment, hallelujah, virtue will flow. Deliverance will come.